Okay, we're up to page 284, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. After we learned yesterday that the chasadim that Hashem has done, Hashem tells us the kindness that He has bestowed upon us by influencing our children to become prophets and nazirim. Pasuk Yud Beis goes to show. Pasuk Yud Beis is coming out to tell us that we have been ungrateful to Hashem, and instead of allowing the children to naturally become nazirim, we have influenced them to, we have prevented them from developing their potential. How? By enticing them and forcing them to drink wine. In other words, to violate the terms of nazirus, to prevent them from even wanting to become nazirim. If they're so accustomed to drinking wine, and we tell them, maybe you should be a nazir, someone will say to them, maybe you should be a nazir, they will respond, we can't, we're so used to drinking wine, we can't drink, we can't become a nazir. Now, why are they so accustomed to drinking wine? Because we did it to them. Fatashku es hanazirim yoyin, you gave the nazirim wine to drink. You told the prophets to be quiet. You silenced the prophets. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hine, therefore, in punishment for this, Anochi me'ik tachtechem, I am going to bring upon you pain. The word me'ik is an unusual word. Over here, you look over here, but the Mitzudo Sia, and he translates the word me'ik to mean in tsuka v'tsara. The word me'ik comes from the word tsara, trouble. Come on, bibnei okas rasha. The trouble of the Rasha, the evil man, the trouble it brings upon the world. We'll see a little more detail in some Farshim more. If you look in the Malbim, in the Beir Hamilos, the Beir Hamilos, on page 285, he also struggles with this word Me'ik. Me'ik Ledati. If he says what Ledati means, in my opinion, obviously this is very difficult, I'm not certain. So what does this word mean? Mishtatefim Ayin kof hei minochei lamed hei. Now, what does that mean? Minochei lamed hei. Kinochei lamed hei vinochei ayin.
It means the third letter is silent.
The poal, right? The third letter of vinochei ayin. And mishtafim bimuvanim vuhu shesoiger ba'ar hadover kima'ako. This is saviv. It comes from the word a ma'akah. That we know, a ma'akah. The mitzvah derives to put a fence around your roof and no one should fall off. There shall be a roof, a ma'akah. So you are basically, you are enclosed. There is nowhere to turn. When a person, that explains why it's called a tsar, when a person, he feels that he's locked in, there is no solution to his trouble, he's osur, a prisoner. A prisoner is locked in, that is a very great tsar. That's what it means. When we say, you have put a mu'uka, your offense, around our loins. Around that, there's nowhere for our legs to go. Kumosha segrim ad alumbais. Now here, this is what the Mitzudos will tell us. It's a different shot, but he's coming to. You know, they're all related. If you have a wagon, you ever see the dumpster on the street? Okay, they have the dumpsters. So what do the contractors do? It's not enough just the amount of space that they allow you to fill up in the dumpster. They put plywood to extend the height. To extend the height of the dumpster so you can fill it up with more garbage. Dumpster costs $1,000 approximately. I think probably right now it's $1,000. So you have a lot of garbage. They take plywood and they put it around the sides of the dumpster, and that raises the height of the dumpster another foot, 2 feet, 3 feet, and you're able to pack in there a lot more garbage. What? You maximize this capacity. So in the ancient times, when you would take the grain from the field to the silo, you would put the grain on a wagon. And the wagon was limited. The height of the wagon was only a certain height. If you wanted to be able to take on this wagon more than the wagon was meant to hold, you would take some piece of wood, some type of material, and you would make a little fence above the height of the wagon, and that way you'd be able to fill it up, to maximize its capacity, to fill it up with more than it was meant to hold, to make less trips from the field to the silo. So that's how we're going to see things according to the parish of Rashi. So we're here, so Samta Mukha, again, the end of the Malbim, like you would fence the bundles of grain hagidushim that are piled ba'agola on the wagon, bal yiplu mimikaimam, so they should not fall onto the floor when you travel. The doichek oisam saviv, and you would press them within the fence. So the Behi's teaching us over here is, I'm going to do a me'ik tachteichem. The word me'ik means a tzara. I'm going to bring Rachman l'san upon Klal Yisrael tzaras. And the term that we're using here to describe the tzara is, there is no solution. If you have a solution, if there is a derech, if there is a mahalich, how to free yourself from the tzara, already 90% of the tzara is over. I have a problem. It's a big problem, but there is a solution. You have to just go through the steps, and the problem will go away. It may take a long time, it may cost a lot of money, it may be very, very, very inconvenient, very uncomfortable. But if you know that there is a solution, that takes away a big, big portion of the tzara. But if there is no solution, even a little problem, a little teeny thing, and there is no solution, it can drive a person mad. And Rachmana Litzlan, that's what Hashem over here is telling us, that because you have been so ungrateful to me for what I've done to you, and you've learned these last few days, I'm going to bring upon you a tzara. Not just a problem where you have a solution. A problem that is in the category of a me'ik, miloshan ma'akah, offense. It will surround you, it will envelop you. You'll be locked. So what are you saying? Boxed in, there will be nowhere to turn. Kasher, and the pasuk over here gives the example, to'ik ho'agola, just like you take a fence and you wrap it around a wagon, hamaleo lo omir, that is filled with grain. Next pasuk gedalit, v'avad monos mikol, and the ability to escape will be denied from those who are swift. People who have the ability to escape, they're swift on their feet and they have all of the means to do so. For these people, they will be unsuccessful. They will be locked in. They will be lost, the monos, the ability to flee from people who otherwise, Nicole, are light-footed. They're able to run. The chazok lo ya'ameitz kayach, the mighty and the powerful will not be filled with strength. The gibor lo yimali nafshu, a mighty person will not be able to save his soul. Three different examples over here in this pasuk. In this pasuk, there is the kol, there is the chazak, and there is the gibor. Each one has tools at his disposal, and according to the laws of nature, derech hateva, they should be able to escape. Yet there's going to be, that's the same theme as the previous pasuk, you're going to be locked in. There's going to be a fence erected around you, which will prevent you from escaping. Let's see the three pasukim of Mefarshim, starting Pasuk Yudbeis in the Metudos David. Pasuk Yudbeis on page 284 says, "Vatashku Ritzon Elomar Pitisem Es Hanizirim Lishtos Yoyim." You have enticed the Nizirim to drink wine. You saw a holy person and you did not like it. Do not be holy. What are you doing? And you protested. You told the prophets, we do not want to hear your prophecy. And by doing so, what is the consequence of this? The consequence of this is that in the future, the next generation, when they see their parents are silencing the Nevi'im, when they see their parents are seeing holy people and trying to prevent them from being holy by contaminating them, the children will say, obviously, this is not a good thing to do, to be a Nazir, to be a Navi, and to be a Nazir. So the sin is not just a sin in harm what you've done to the prophets and to the Nazirim. The example you are setting destroys society. In the future, no one will want to go down this holy path. Pasuk Gimel, Hine Anochi, Musav L'malo Shamar, Im Shilamti Gimel L'Ha'umois, Asher Lo Yidu'uni. So according to the Mitzudos, we're now making a Kal V'Chomer. Hashem is saying, if I have punished the nations of the world who do not know me, Kol Shekein, how much more so, Atem Sher Beis Yilheiti V'Mochem, so to you, Klal Yisrael, I've been so good to. I've been so good to you, how much more so will I punish you for being ungrateful? The impulse zeh peshatem, B, Kol shekein shashalim lochem gemol lochein lif hinein and ani bevil alechem tzuka b'mkoimchem v'lotuchu l'vroyach, and therefore kal v'chaim, I'm going to punish you because you've been so ungrateful. And what will be the punishment? I'm going to bring the enemy in your midst, and you're not going to be able to escape. Ki b'chol mokem shetiu tasig lochem hatzuka. Every place where, in every location, the tzara will overtake you. Kasher to'ik ha'lolah. Omar derech mashal. This pasuk is giving us a mashal, an example, a proverb. Ki agola eino balas ha'chayim shetoik lo. And a wagon is not something which can feel pain. A wagon is an object which has no sensation. Just like a wagon which is full over capacity, there's too much merchandise, there's too much grain in this wagon. And he's saying something a little bit different. And it's causing pain to the wagon. Okay, so over here he's saying something, it's not what the Malam says, it's a little bit different. Rashi, I will see one thing at a time. Over here he's saying,
not so much pain, stress.
It's stress. You're putting stress on an object that was not meant to handle this amount of stress. Every time you go to an elevator, it says the elevator can only handle a certain amount of weight. Okay, don't put in the elevators more than whatever number of pounds that the elevator was designed for. And if you start stressing out the elevator by putting in the elevator more weight than it's meant to hold, what is going to happen? You're going to damage the motor. You're going to damage the mechanism. It's going to break. Go a car is only meant to handle a certain amount of pressure, a certain amount of stress. Every single item that is made in this world, an airplane or anything, a table, a chair, everything is only meant to handle a certain amount of stress. Once you overdo it, it's going to break. So just like, and even though these things, that's the expression he's giving, you have a wagon, the wagon was only meant to handle, carry a certain amount of merchandise, and you're causing it stress by overloading it. And what ultimately happens? It breaks, it collapses, it becomes useless. So too Hashem says, I'm going to overload you with two more than what you were meant to handle. Okay, that's what he's saying over here. It's a very interesting idea, because today this generation, let's read what was over here first. It carries a lot, a heavy weight, and it's swollen. It's swollen. It's busting by the seams. And it appears because you've overloaded the wagon. The wagon is under too much stress, and the wagon is on the verge of collapse. Came likewise, I'm going to stress you out. Now, it seems like what it's saying is stress. Today, there's many, many people have noted, and it's very common to hear this, is that we're human beings really meant to handle the way we live today. Today, you have technology, and the average person probably gets every single day at least 100 emails, messages, text messages, WhatsApps, telephone calls, and messages, all different types of media comes into you, and they're all demanding your attention. The average person is truly overwhelmed. And I can prove it to you, because today there's a new epidemic where no one answers the phone. It used to be years ago, someone, the phone rings, people would run to answer the phone. It was such a novelty.
All of them asking for money.
It's not only not no 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 but spam. Even if it's not spam, everyone has caller ID, okay, and the caller ID today is very on the smartphones is very sophisticated, okay, so right away you can know if you have the right apps, you can instantly know if it's spam or if it's someone that you know. And yet it's very common, everyone will admit to you, they don't answer the phone. They don't answer the phone. Even when their best friend calls, their parents call, their children call, they get messages. Why? The answer is they're just overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed. There's too much going on. The technology has made it too easy to communicate, too easy to be in touch with one another, to keep up with all your notifications from your Facebook page and your text messages and WhatsApp messages and voice messages. And telephone calls, and who knows what else is going on out there in this world? I can't even. I'm still not so familiar with all this. I'm just overwhelmed with a few things that I have. People are really stressed out. We're overwhelmed. You don't have the presence of mind to think. What is life all about? What's the purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? And it's fascinating. That's really what he's saying. The tzara is We start with the Malbum, which just takes it very simply. We'll see again inside, is that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be a siege. Basically, what it's saying over here, according to the Pshut Shalom, according to the Malbum, we'll see Rashi as well, is Hashem says, I'm going to bring upon you a siege. Yerushalayim will be under siege for 3 years. And no one's going in, no one's going out.
That is like the Ma'akeh.
Right, exactly. That is the similar understanding of what the Pasuk means. But if that was the case, it should say the word Motzor. It should say a word which refers to an actual siege. It appears that the Mitsudos is picking up that we did not use the classic word for a siege, which is very common in Nach,
right.
And we're using a new word called Me'ik, which also means an enclosure, but it's a different word.
That word is only used here.
Here, right.
Nowhere
only used
else.
Tanakh, okay.
Me'ik.
He did a search. Okay, so this is a very unique. So he's saying something very, very interesting. And I think we can relate to this much more so than all of the previous generations, is that the tzara is not necessarily a tzara as a siege, where a physical siege. It's you overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed with stress. There are too many things on your plate. There are too many things to deal with that need your attention. And when a person's under too much stress, he can collapse. We all know this to be. A person can have a nervous breakdown. I can't handle all of the obligations. You have children, and you have a parnasa, and you have a wife, and you have work, and all these problems. And it just gets to a point in time where you're overwhelmed. Just like you have a wagon, and the wagon was only meant to carry a certain amount of weight. You've all seen cars going down the road, and you see this stuff busting out of the window. Right, you've all seen this, and you can see that the car is sunk, that the springs on the wheels are completely pushed down. The whole car has been pushed all the way down because the car is carrying an enormous amount of weight that it was not meant for it to handle. And it's been stressed out. You're stressing out the machine more than what it can handle. It's the verge of collapse. Well, human beings are a lot more delicate than machines, and if you stress them out, they're also going to collapse. This is the tzara that the Mitzudas David is describing, saying pshat in the pasuk. I am going to stress you out. You can translate the words, hinei anochi tachteichem. I'm going to stress you out. That's what it means, according to him. Just like, if you want to understand what it means to be stressed out, look at a machine that was only meant to perform do a certain thing, and you're giving it a load more than it was meant to handle. Surge of visitors, it shuts down. Right. It can't handle it. It crashes. It can't handle too much information, too much demand. So that's exactly the way, a very unique translation of this pasuk according to the Mitzudos David. Let's see Rashi now. Right away, we have to finish first. The pasuk Yudalit, pasuk of Avad Monos Mikol, Afakal Beraglav, people who are swift, people who naturally normally would be able to run very, very quickly and to escape. That's what you would think. Lo yatzel atzim b'masha yonos mibnei oyev. You're not going to be able to escape all sins. V'yimsa oyev b'chol mokam shiyeh. The enemy is everywhere. V'lo yameitz. The gibor will not be able to be mighty. Lo yuchal lechazek koichoy b'mulchama. He will be unsuccessful in war, even though al piderech hateva, his might should allow him to succeed. If Hashem does not want it to happen, we all know that. Hakol bidei shamayim. Rashi is going to be a little bit different. Rashi pasuk yud beis v'tashku es hanazim yoyin shlo yoyu leschem shashikor osur lohayrois. He's giving us a whole new interpretation. He's telling us that the nazir, he's saying that the nazir is what we learned yesterday. He's parush. What did we learn yesterday? Rashi is l'shitasek. Rashi yesterday taught us the word nazir means a parush me'am haaretz, and instead it's oiskin batoyra. It's Oisek in Torah. That's how Rashi translates the word yesi nozir, not mamja nozir that does not cut its hair and does not go contaminate to the dead. Rather, nozir here means a person that's a porush. And from being ignorant, he devotes his life to the study of Torah so that he can teach and guide Klal Yisrael. The halach is, you're only allowed to issue a halachic teaching if you are sober. But if you are intoxicated, the halach is you may not paskin. So what did the people do? They knew that the rabbi is coming, and the rabbi is going to issue some decisions which are not in the people's favor. So before the rabbi came to shul, l'chaim, and you give a little bit to drink, and before you know, the rabbi is a little bit tipsy-turvy, right? And now the rabbi comes in, and the rabbi, you have a shaila, rabbi, is this kosher or is it not kosher? The rabbi is not allowed to decide because he is not sober. So it was a clever technique that these people did to outsmart the rabbanim, to prevent them from issuing decisions which would not be in their favor. That's how Rashi learns. It's a continuation. The notice of the Talmud Chacham, by giving a Talmud Chacham yayin, he's not allowed to decide a halacha. Shelo yodu eschem l'shash shikor osur l'horoyz v'tashkos and z'biyoyin tirim yonesem ve'at isun yos malfeichoyin b'chamar. You trick them. At isun, I think it means to trick. You misled them, your teachers, through wine. By giving them wine, you are preventing your teachers from deciding, making decisions, because they're not permitted. They're not in a frame of mind where they're allowed to decide. Lo tinavu, you told your prophets, quiet. Don't give us musa. Lo omois tziva chein amatzia koin bezkel. To almost, there was a person whose name was Amatzia. We have yet to learn about this in Perek Zayin. His name was Amatzia. He was the Kohen of Bethel. He was the priest in the city of Bethel, and he told almost, quiet. Don't give us Musar. If you want to know what's good for you, if you want to live out the day, silence. Don't give us Musar. Chozeh. He said, Amatzia said, the Amatzia was a Kohen of Bethel, he said to Amos, Chozeh, prophet, Chozeh is a term, the title of Amos, Leich, get lost, Berach, get out of town, run as fast as your feet can take you, Lecha, for your own good, El Eretz Yehuda, we don't want to hear from you, don't come here to give us Musa, go back where you came from. Chutzpah, huh? What a chutzpah. That's what they told the rabbi. Make. Now we come over here to Rashi. He doesn't really want to elaborate Rashi. He just targum shel meitzik. Meitzik means pain. Meitzik means an oppressor. An oppressor. Hashem says, I'm going to bring upon you oppressors. People that are going to make trouble. Okay, he doesn't explain, doesn't tell us all this elaboration. Like the Mesudos David, and like, well, the Malbim will see different. He just says, Hashem says, yeah.
It's a word unique in Tanakh.
Yes, yes.
That's why you have this diversity.
Everyone is struggling.
Right.
Struggling. Everyone is struggling. Next, a deeper explanation to what it means. It comes, obviously, with makor, offense, but what is the context? Malbim, you would never say it's a pshat. Malbim is like a marshal of like a wagon that's filled with grain. He's saying it means a wagon that's overfilled with grain. And the wall is busting. The walls are busting by the seams. You're stressing out the wagon. You will also be stressed out. You will have more than what you can handle. Tachtechem escha no yaschem. So this means your dwellings. Your chaniya. Look at the base. Where you are, look over here. Look at that. The sif says zikedim. What is the word chanecha no yaschem? Perish Rashi zal escha na yaschem. Written lemar bimkoimchem. It means in your location. Chaniya is lashnav location.
Encampment.
Exactly. It says lo sichonim. There's a prohibition. A Jew is not allowed to show chin lo sichonim in regard to a non-Jew. Many commentators teach us the prohibition is to sell them land in Eretz Yisrael. Because los, what does it mean? Sichonein. So some say it means chen. Chen means chinam. Don't give them free gifts. Okay, that's one shot. Everything is MS. But the word los sichonein comes from chania. The same word that Rashi is using. A chania means an encampment. A location. Do not give a non-Jew property in the Holy Land. Chanoya. So here it says tachtechem. It means in your location. Now, what's interesting over here is one thing. Everyone has to agree to this is that the punishment here that Amos is describing for ingratitude is the punishment will overcome you. like in the Torah it says, v'hisigucha. There is a punishment where we run away. We run to the punishment. We are driven out of our home and we are forced to go into exile. And in exile is where the real punishment is waiting for us. The Goyim and Golas, they kill us, they torture us, they take away our ability to serve Hashem. So when we were in Eretz Yisrael and we heard the enemy is coming, so what did we do? We ran away. The truth is, we ran towards the greater Tzara. Okay, we were in a matzav of Sakana. The enemy was coming. If the enemy would have come into the land, they would have killed us. Or who knows what they would have done to us. So what did we do? We ran away to a foreign land. By running to the foreign land, the truth is, we ran into even a bigger Tzara. Because by going there they'll certainly have no rachmanis on us. As history has proven itself, they expelled us from every single country in the world, practically. There's probably not a country in this world where there was not at some point in time a law where the Jews should get lost. And it was not a country where we were not tortured and there was unfair taxation or pogroms, blood libels, and an actual genocide. I mean, what do we want in the Crusades and Tach V'Tat and Holocaust and all of these terrible things? And then when things were good, they didn't kill us. What did they do? Assimilation. How many Jews have been lost because of Vayishakeu? Esav kissed Yaakov. He kissed Yaakov. That represents the idea of that. Okay, let's intermarry. Let's take from your talent, and by doing so, by embracing, by them being good to us, we abandon our faith, and led to assimilation. In America, how many Jews are there today that have absolutely no idea they're even Jewish? How many Jews are there today in America that don't even know from nothing of nothing? All of that is because of freedom, emancipation, where we've come out of the ghetto. So by leaving Eretz Yisrael and running to the Umos HaOlam, we're really going to the Tzara. But that's not what it says here. The Tzara over here, it says, is you're not going nowhere. You're staying put. He explains very clearly, that's also part of the theme of Me'ik. Me'ik means a Tzara where you are local, where you are. It's not a Tzara of going somewhere else, going into exile, being a refugee. That's not Me'ik. Me'ik means stay put, and where you stay put, you feel the pain, and you will implode due to the pain that you are experiencing locally. Isn't that what it says? It says in your location. Next, words of Rashi. Okay, so I take it back. The Rashi appears to be saying the same thing as the Mitzudos David. It says that we have a metaphor in this pasuk. Anochi me'ik tachtechem. I'm going to lock you in. Kasher to'iku agola hamalei Allah amir. Just like a wagon is locked in from the grain that is loaded upon it. And what happens? Rashi says, mikoyved maso sholeha. It's way down. It's way down too much. The wagon, to the naked eye, appears to be overloaded with a burden that it's not meant to handle. And that's the tsar that's going to come on Klal Yisrael. I'm going to give you too much. Too much will be going on. A human being is delicate. You can't deal with more than you can handle. If you deal with more than you can handle, that will lead to a nervous breakdown. And that is internal. That is the uniqueness of this type of tzara. Let's see.
It's almost like a double punishment of sorts. Then may could be marked.
Okay. You're locked in.
You're locked in.
You can't go anywhere else. And within, you implode. The weight.
Right.
If you're running away, so at least that shows you have a plan. Person is escaping. You're escaping, so that means you have a healthy mind and you're creative. And where you can find escape. You can find some solution to your problem. But if you can't escape and you have to deal with the situation you have in front of you and it's overwhelming and there's no solution, you're way down by your situation, and you implode. Let's see now the Radak. Radak pasuk yibeis v'tashku v'tashku loy dash atem loy nizhartem b'mash nizharti eschem v'loy pekachtem einechem l'mash osisi o'mochem. It's not enough that you have been blind to the kindness that I've bestowed upon you. Elo shanedim v'anezim shohoyu lochem lo'is l'kdushaschem b'italtem osam menatem osam m'kdushosam. If you don't want to be religious, don't be religious. You don't want to thank Hashem, don't thank Hashem. But how dare you deny from other people their service to Hashem? It's a very, 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 you see this very so often. It's what it says in Pirkei Avos. It says in Pirkei Avos is, Loi ani, v'loi, I forgot the Mishnah, remember someone's the Mishnah, is that there are people who are so evil, not only are they evil, they want other people also to be evil. They don't forgive that someone else should do a chesed. I once saw this by a person. I remember there was an elderly person in yeshiva, and he needed help. He needed someone, you know, to take him in, take him out, tell him to go to the bathroom. So there was a boy. And there were two thoughts. I'll make it up a little bit. Okay, I'm going to embellish this, but I'm telling you, Mark, this is true.
Okay.
I'm going to embellish it a little bit, though. I'm going to embellish it a little bit. I remember there was a person who needed help. Again, take him in, take him out, go to the bathroom, v'chulu. And there was a boy. He was a very good-natured boy, and he helped him. He helped him. And then there was another boy that was a very nasty boy. And he felt guilty. He felt guilty that he really should help him. But he couldn't bring himself to do it. He couldn't bring himself to go. Maybe he did it once, twice, a few times he did it, but then he got to a point. No, it's a waste of time. It's not what I'm here for. I'm here to learn. I'm here. I'm not here to go help out this person. Enough is enough. So he refused to be involved in assisting this fellow. But then as time passed and he saw other people did it, it's very obvious in his mind is he had a guilt complex. He's doing it, I'm not doing it. And he would literally discourage the other people from helping. Don't help him. Don't help him. We're here, we're not, he doesn't belong here in the yeshiva. And we're not here to help him. We're here to learn. We're here to do other things. So he would actually go out of his way to persuade the other people, don't help him. Like stone, like in Sodom. Is that it's bad enough. It's bad enough that you don't want to help. Okay, so good. I understand. You don't want to help. Mm-hmm. But if there's another fellow here who wants to help, gesunde hate, let him help him. Mind your own business. Right, wrong, all your arguments, mind your business. But the nastiness, the selfishness is so great, you have to say nasty things to the people that help someone else? That's oricious. Mind your business. So here, that's exactly what Hashem over here is saying. You know, Klal, I've been so good to you. I've given you everything. Okay, you don't want to be Makir Taif. Okay, fine, don't be Makir Taif. But don't go, don't be so nasty that the people who are Makir Taif, there are still good people in society who do have Akaras HaTaif to Hashem, don't discourage them. If you want to be an ingrate, you want to be a nasty person, so keep to yourself. Go into your own hole and be a nasty person. But don't go so far to look at the people who are serving Hashem, who are grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and want to reciprocate by learning and being Nazirim and following in Hashem's ways, don't deny them, don't discourage them. Obviously, you have such a guilt complex, you have to go and discourage the other people. This is an extra dosage of evil that Hashem is coming to complain to Klal Yisrael. It's bad enough. You're bad enough. You don't want to be a Nazir. You don't want to be a Nazir. You have to discourage the others. Loidai, Pasuk is based in the mountain in Radak. Loidai, is it not enough? Shatem loy nizharte bimashe hisharti eschem, that you are not going to be careful of what I've warned you not to do. Veloy pikachtem enechem, and you did not open up your eyes to recognize the kindness that I have bestowed upon you. Lemasha sisi mochem. Ella, you have to go so far to persuade and discourage other people from also doing chesed. You have to go so far to be nasty and tell people not to do chesed. From your holiness, that you really should have learned from them. And what did you do? You persuaded them. Bidvarim ad sheshamu lochem lishtos yayin, to drink wine, ulevatel kiddushosam, to mevatel their holiness, vechavichain, al hanavim tzivisem lemar lo tinavu, vetam tzivisem roitzolemar behechreach, menatem oisam milinavi lochem umilahasirchem b'shmi. You force them with force to prevent them from doing their mitzvahs. Pasuk Yud Gimel, what will then be the response? How will Hashem punish you? Hinei anochi meik tachtechem bim koimchem, or ik, or atzik lochem, shloi tuchlu levroyach linotzel, you're not going to be able to escape. Meik inyan tsuka vitzara, moshel. Then we give a moshel to Pasuk. Vachem bimnei okash rasha, v'targum tzara, oksa, v'omar kasher toik ha'agola, al derech moshel, ki ha'agola ina ba'alas chayim, shetoik v'sotzer, it's not a living creature which would feel pain. The Omar Omir, the Omar Maso, Acher, Kimibne Hanefah, who made Ser Yoiser Noise Ho Omir, Minoise Masa Acher. The reason why we're using the wagon and the sheaves as a marshal instead of something else is because wheat expands. When the wheat gets moist, it expands. So he's saying there is where you can really see the example of the stress. When you load up the wagon, it fits perfectly into the enclosure. But when it begins to rain, or there's tal, then the wheat expands. And when it expands, there's no room for it to expand because you filled it up exactly along the walls of the wagon. But it has to expand. So what happens? It causes the walls to bust. And you can actually see the walls of the wagon are beginning to are stressed out. Is exactly that. That's why this is a better mashal than comparing it to other type of merchandise which does not expand when it gets wet, and then it would not be noticeable the stress you're putting on the wagon. It's a collective noun. Omer means one bundle, but it really means many bundles. Many bundles, so we just sing Loshon Yachid, the collective noun, as a collective noun. Pasuk Yudal Vav Manos Lo Yam Itzkoch Lo Yeh Bo Yecheles Lo Ha'alam Itzkoch B'machshavos Ki Yifchad Vibor V'yavet Koichai. Terror. He adds in something that does not say anywhere else. The reason why the cow, the swift, will not be able to run away, the Gibor will not be able to overcome his enemy, is because the mind is numb. The mind has been short-circuited. Why? Because of the Bahola. The Bahola, when a person is in a state of confusion, even if he is mighty and strong, he is powerless. It's not for nothing that the United States in the Persian Gulf War, they would call their technique shock and awe. What is shock and awe? The play with the mind. When you play with the mind, Hitler, Rahman, he did the same thing, Blitzkrieg. Blitzkrieg is really the same thing, overwhelming force. Overwhelming force is basically the same thing as shock and awe.
Noise.
You dull what?
The noise. Like basically you're talking about the jets coming down.
You overwhelm your enemy with psychology. You use psychology to your advantage. It's dark. It's cold. Whatever, and you come with noise and all different techniques to create behola. Create confusion, chaos. And when there's chaos, even though al derech hateva, your victim, your intended victim, has enough resources and power to overcome you, to succeed, to escape, yet, due to being in a state of behola, they are powerless. And that's what the Radak explains, the reason why, even though Klal Yisrael, you at this point in time, you do have the ability to prevail, but you will be in a state of confusion and terror and chaos that you will lose your ability to deal with the situation. Let's look now at the Malbum, Pasuk Yud Beis. Fatashku es hanezirim yoyin. He gave the Zim wine, shlo yimotzi ish yore derech ha-prishus. Similar to Rashi, but not exact. Here he's teaching their teachers. Not necessarily teaching halacha, but teachers of Musa. If you're preventing from Klal Yisrael people who can give Musar. Today we don't have this anymore. The whole art of Musar does not exist. It used to be, you see, this is so far from us. It used to be in the yeshiva, there were two heads of a yeshiva. When they started making yeshivas about 300-400 years ago, the derech of the yeshivas, the old yeshivas, there were two equals. Ein shnei melachim mishamshim mekeser echad, but not that wasn't true in the yeshiva. There was the mashkiach and there was the rosh ha-yeshiva. The mashkiach was an equal to a rosh ha-yeshiva, and to some degree was even a greater leader. The rosh ha-yeshiva was pure intellect. He gave the shir, the Torah. The mashkiach was the one who gave the boys a derech in life. Like, you know, you have a Friday shir. Rav Pam used to say, if you have to miss a shir, if you have to miss a shir, don't miss the. You have to go to the doctor, you have something which you have to go away for, and you're able to arrange your schedule. Better to miss a shir on Shulchan Aruch Yeredeya than to miss a Friday shir. Don't miss the Friday shir, because the Friday shir was Chayvas Halavavas, was Musa. He would go through the parasha, he would select different ideas which he felt were important to learn from as a hanhoga in life. Yoyer derech. And then during the week, he learned, he taught us Yoredeya, Halacha, Basa B'cholov, Taruvis, Malicha, Shchita, Trefis. So in the yeshiva, traditionally, there were two different leaders. There is the Rosh HaYeshiva, and yeshivas is a modern thing, relatively speaking. But that's how they were established, going back in the old days. And one is to teach you, you know, give a dafshi, give a gemara. And the mashkiach, he was the person in charge of hashkafa, of giving hashkafa. Today, doesn't exist anymore. Today, they were equal. And I thought even the mashkiach was probably even more powerful. Today, you never heard of such a thing. Today, you hear a mashkiach is just basically an administrator. The Rosh Hashiva is everything, or tries to be everything. He is the Talmud Chacham, who gives the shir, and the one who gives Musar, the one who gives you a mahalach, he's going to be your Masada Kedushin, he's going to be the one that you're going to be Shoyal Eitza. How in the world does he have time to do all of these things and learn, and how does he have time? Also, he's the fundraiser also. So how does he have time to be the fundraiser and answer all the questions and deal with all the people's problems and make all the problems also? How does he have time? It takes time to make problems also. How do you have time for all this? No one knows. You have a lot of everything. When you have a little of everything, you have a lot of nothing. Okay, so today it's a big churban. Today, to a young person today, you say the word mashkiach. Oh, mashkiach. It's like, oh, anachos darg. You know anachos darg is? It's a very nasty expression. It means a low life. Anachos means a lower step. A lower step. It means, oh, never. A schmoozer. A mashkiach is someone who schmoozes the whole day with the bachrim. You don't learn anything. You just schmooze the whole day with the bachrim. That's not the way it used to be. It used to be the mashkiach, he was everything. The mashkiach was a sholem. His focus was not teaching a daf shir. His focus was musa. So interesting over here, Rashi, it's very interesting. Rashi over here, the machloikis between Rashi and the Malbim. Rashi seems to say that the nazir is the rosh ha-yeshiva, and the Malbim seems to say the Nazir is the Mashkiach. And Rashi says, what did you do? You gave a Tashku es ha-nezirim yoyin. You gave the Rosh HaYeshiva some wine, so he couldn't give a good shir. He couldn't say, lasuke shmaitza aliba dehilchasa. He could not conclude the shir with the Psak Halacha. And the Malbim says, he gave the Mashkiach a cup of wine, so he couldn't give you Musar. He couldn't tell you what to do. Okay, you know, in Chaim Berlin, Rav Hudner, this is Rabbi Kal, is not here today. He told me when Rav Hudner, when they started a new yeshiva, I don't know all the history of Chaim Berlin, but it seems Rav Hudner, he really wanted, when the yeshiva closed down, for a year or two, there was no yeshiva altogether. Crown Heights, after Crown Heights, they shut down. Then they started for Rockaway for a very short time, and that did not work out at all. That was a disaster. And then it was closed down, there was no yeshiva. And then for some reason, there was some stirrings from the alumni, let's start a new yeshiva, let's start all over again. And Rav Hudner, he joined, and he said, okay, and he didn't seem to appear that he really wanted to be in the yeshiva. He wanted really to go to Eretz Yisrael, which he did. So who did he appoint? He made the yeshiva, the new yeshiva, Chaim Berlin, just like the olden days. He appointed two equals, Rav Aaron Schechter, to be the Rosh HaYeshiva, and Rav Shlomo Kalbach. Today is the yahrzeit of his cousin. Today is the yahrzeit of Rav Shlomo Kalbach. Zechus Yogin Aleinu. Okay, may the Shem have an aliyah. Rav Shlomo Kalbach. And he was here. Rav Shlomo Kalbach, who lived over, he davened in this shul. In this shul, he was an incredible, incredible Talmud Chacham, incredible Baal Musar, Baal Hashkafa. His famous farm called Maskil Lishlomo. He lived around the corner over here on East 19th Street. He davened here from, no, Hashem, no, Hashem. He's in Lakewood. He's hard for me. He's not a young man. So he lives by his children in Lakewood. He lives now in Lakewood. He still has his house over here. I don't think he comes around here very much, but very recently. Very recently, he moved to Lakewood because it was getting too hard for him. So he was appointed. This is where Rabbi Kallis explained to me, he's not here today, is he appointed basically like the olden days, the old-fashioned yeshivas. The old-fashioned yeshivas is there will be two equals. A Rosh HaYeshiva, your job is Torah. And the Mashkiach is Chovis HaLevavos, Hilchos Deos V'Chovis HaLevavos. And that was the way he wanted it to be. Two heads which are equal, and it was like that for a tekufa until whatever it was until whatever adkan quiet adkan until things changed, and today the Rosh Yeshiva should be good and well. He's not so well now, but Shavu Shleima. So all the years since he stepped down, whatever it was, it's viewed as simply to every Talmud that the Rashiva is both. The Rashiva is Torah and is also Hilchos Deos V'Chovos HaLevavos. And other yeshivas, I don't know if even have such a thing. Maybe MTJ of Moshe was the Rosh HaYeshiva, and who was the Mashkiach? Of Michal Birnbaum. Okay, so you have to know what it was like. I have no idea. And Mir Yeshiva, who? Felman was Mashkiach. So these Mashkichim, they were different. They were real Bali Musar. And the Rosh Yeshivas, they were not supposed to get involved in the Musar, in Hadrocha. When you're a Shoyal Eitzah, you have a question in life, what to do, you don't go to the Rosh Yeshiva, you go to the Mashkiach. He's the one, he's the Bali Musar, he gives you the Derech. Now, obviously, the Skadim Hadorois doesn't always work out like that, and today the whole thing is bottle mavotel. Today there's no such thing. Today in every yeshiva, the way it's set up, and all of these, there's so many new yeshivas today all over the world, especially in Eretz Yisrael and Lakewood. And the style is pashut. There's one person, there's one person in charge. There's only Ein Shnei Melachim Meshamshim Bekeser Echad. Whoever is the boss, he is everything. Which means he's nothing. He's nothing, right? Because today, you can't. It's a different world today. But it's kedai to appreciate the way they used to, when they created this institution, not all that long ago, not more than a few hundred years ago. It wasn't like the way, if they would put those people in a time machine and bring them to this generation, they would tell us, you know something, you're totally missing the boat. This is not the way you structure an institution. Institution, no one person can be everything. Everyone has to have a unique role, and you have to work together. And if one person tries to be everything, like I told you, if you have a little of everything, you have a lot of nothing.
What's happening to all the dust?
That's another shir. Okay? And you can listen to what the public has to say, and you ask the insiders, people who learned there, what they have to say. Baruch Hashem, they have a new Rashiva. It's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a goyin shebegoyinim, Rabbi Lichtenstein. His name is Rabbi Yitzchak Lichtenstein. He is the son of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is the Edim, is the son-in-law of Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, which means that Rav Yitzchak Lichtenstein, the Einikel, is the grandson of Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik. He went to the army. He was in the army. He served in the Israeli army, the IDF, Chayalei Tzva Hagana LiYisrael. Everyone knows this. We're not naive people living in a cave. We're in the 21st century. Every little yukel knows all the secrets today. Okay, we're mature people. Everyone knows this. He went, he served, and we're proud. Why are you not to be proud of such a thing? What's there to go look? Chas v'shalom. He put his life on the line for us. He served in the Chayolei Tzva Hagana LiYisrael. His father was a goyin shebegoyinim. His father was a Gush Etzion, was a part with Rav Amital. Gush Etzion. He was a goyin, no one could come near him. In fact, he was so great, unfortunately, it's like Rav Meir. Ein Odom Oyamin al Seif Daitoi. Okay, there's certain, like Rav Cook almost. Rav Cook is also, the goyinness is so great. Ein Odom Oymed al Soif Daitai. Rav Meir was so great, we don't pass him like him, because Ein Odom Oymed al Soif Daitai. There are people that are so, so great. And Gush Etzion is a very different approach to life, the Hashkafa, than Torah V'das. Okay, Torah V'das now is not what it used to be in any way. If you don't know what's going on with Torah V'das, but talking about Torah V'das is still part of the Haredi world. And the Haredi world is a very different world than the community. It's a massive community. It's a busting by the seams, Gush Etzion. Gush Etzion, it's an amazing place. But it's very, Alon Shvut, it's a very different Hashkafa than the Hashkafa of the American Haredi world and certainly than the Israeli. So what? You know that this Rav Yitzchak Lichtenstein, he is the one who decides who gets to learn by Rav David Soloveitchik. All the boys in the Haredi world today, their goal is to learn in Brisk. Why? It's good for Shaduchim. If you learn in Brisk. Okay, there's a very big yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Brisk, and the main is Rav Avraham Yehoshua Soloveitchik. And Rav Yehoshua Soloveitchik is the I'm not kind of the holy yichus. So that's viewed to be probably the elite. The yeshiva recently has expanded. They've opened up the yeshiva to many more talmidim than they used to. It used to be much more exclusive. Now it's not so exclusive. Now they've taken in a lot more than they used to. And I was there when I was there in Eretz Yisrael, two times before, like a year ago. I was there. I went to visit the yeshiva, and it's impressive. It's a very, very big yeshiva. It's a very big yeshiva now. It's a big building, and there's a lot of hasmada. There's no question about it. There's a lot of very serious, heavy duty learning, and to get in, it used to be a very big deal to get in. Today, it's also still a big deal to get in. Then there's another brisk which is equal. Headed by Rav David Soloveitchik. Some learn by Rav David, some learn by Aram Yoshua, and others learn by Rav David. So it's a much smaller yeshiva, it's not as big. Rav David is much older, he's not a young man, Rav David. And also it's brisk with all the shtick, the whole thing brisk. Who decides who gets into Rav David Soloveitchik's yeshiva? So Rav David Soloveitchik appointed Rav Yitzchak Lichtenstein, I guess that's his cousin, right? Somehow they're cousins. That any boy that wants to come to yeshiva in America, they should go to him. They should go to Rav Yitzchak Lichtenstein to be tested. And if Rav Yitzchak Lichtenstein says that you are eligible to go to Brisk, you get into Brisk. Okay, so we're dealing over here with a goyin. I think he once had a yeshiva with someone. He started the yeshiva. I don't know if you remember years ago there was a yeshiva with him. I'm sorry. YTT. YTT. Many, many years ago, there was a new yeshiva that opened up. It was called YTT. It closed down. Stand on. It closed down. And they, what?
It was a high school.
It was a new high school. And I remember all of the yeshivas were very nervous when it opened up because everyone wants the best boys. And when they opened up, they were very well funded, and they were promoting that they had what to offer. They were promoting, especially one of the things they had to offer was they were going to have a very good limudei chol, very good secular education, besides providing a top of the line, top notch, over the top limudei kodesh. And I remember when I was in the 8th grade, they were opening up, and I remember the yeshivas were nervous. I remember very clearly because they were afraid they would steal the best boys. They would steal the best boys. And they probably did. I think they did. They did take a lot of the best boys. What I think he was the one, if I'm not mistaken, the best rebbeim. Also recruited the best rebbeim. If I'm not mistaken, he was in charge. He was the menahel. I'm not. He of Yitzchak. And who else? But I think he was also involved. I think he was a rebbe there. I think he was one of the main rebbeim. Rabbi Lichtenstein. You have to. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was involved in YTT. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that he was involved in YTT. Okay, I have no idea what happened. YTT closed, and I have no idea why. But okay. So you ask the Rav of Lichtenstein. There's a lot to say, and we wish him Hatzlocha Rabba. Be'emes with the ultimate sincerity, Hatzlocha Rabba. He should bring Torah Das Machzer at Torah LeYoshma. Halavai, halavai. And by doing so, he should revive Brooklyn. People should want to stay and live in Brooklyn. Young people should want to stay in Brooklyn. It's a big problem. Everyone's running away. Some of the good Talmidim should stick around here as well.
Is he still going to be testing boys for risk?
I'm sure. Why not? Why my high look with my... He's a Rav also. He's a Rav in Muncie. He's a very... So what? He is? To be Rashid?
Right,
he's moving to Brooklyn.
I don't know. He's giving up the shtetl in Muncie.
Right. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Whatever. Stalin his shul. That's right.
Lama ata doyeg al oylam she'ena shalai. It's not my world. Not my world. Haslach Rabba. Okay, but I really elaborated because I find this to be very fascinating. This Malbim, the contrast between the Malbim and Rashi. They both say something very similar, but yet it's worlds apart. You're gonna give the Nazir Yayin to prevent him from doing his job. Who is the Nazir? Rashi says the Nazir is the Baal Halacha, the one that's Poiresh from the Ame Haratzim and it's Oisek in Torah. Malbim says, who is you're gonna give the Nazir Yayin so he can't teach you? Who's the Nazir? The Porush, the one that's the Baal Musa. He can't be Yoredeya Hilchoivas Deos. When you look at the Rashi and you look at the Malbim, it's like you're being taken back in a time capsule to the time machine back into the olden days when you had a yeshiva and you had two equals, a mashkiach and a rosh yeshiva. And the mashkiach taught you Musar and the rosh yeshiva taught you Torah. And here between Rashi and the Malbim, they're giving both of them a lechayim to dull their mind so they should stop teaching the boys Torah so they can go to college and become professors and make a lot of money. And you should give the mashkiach, you should give the mashkiach some wine. You should stop telling the boys to learn Musar so they can go and have some fun. They can have some fun with their lives. This is the complaint that Rashi, when you combine together Rashi and the Malbim, is taking us back to a previous era before we existed. It's very geschmack. You put these two together. Opens up a whole new world. Let's finish with the Malbim. We'll stop. The Malbim will be here. So what's going to be over here? Finish with the Malbim. Let's see. Where are we over here? Okay, we are in the middle... Okay, Yud Gimel here. Nochi make tachtechem k'moishu agola, like a wagon. Okay, Yud Gimel page 285 in the Malbim. We'll finish up. I got a wagon. Shehi melea amir oisim ma'akos seviva shlo yiblu hoamarim mitoicha, that the sheaves should not fall down. Vehoamarim nid chakim umitzum tzamim bo agol. They're pressed tightly within the walls of the wagon. Ali dehamake. Bal yuchlu lipol mitoicha, so that the sheave should not fall out. Cain likewise asoyve veschem bal tuchlu lotzeis mimukemchem limoli mechevoyev. I'm going to surround you. You're not going to be able to escape. If you read the Malbim carefully, he's not learning like Rashi, not like the Radak, not like the Mitzudos. He's not mentioning pressure. He's just saying a siege. That's all he's really saying. There's going to be a siege. He's not elaborating upon this beautiful idea that we learned in the Rashi and the Mesudos is what appears to be not just a siege. We would use a different vocabulary if we were referring to a siege. We're referring to stress. Pasuk Yudalit. You learn Navi. Every condition, every illness, everything is found. Every is found in Nach. I'll tell you a good joke. I told Sir Mayevsky, he liked this joke. A person had a PhD, in divinity. PhD, he went to the Yale School of Divinity, had a PhD in theology. It's called divinity. So a guy says, "What's your name?" "My name is Dr. Jack Cohn." I don't know. His name is Jack. I'm just saying like Smith. I don't want to be a generic name. "My name is Dr. Jack Smith." Rabbi Dr. Smith also. Rabbi Dr. Jack Smith. So the fellow says to him, "Rabbi, we have smicha from where? Smicha from Tarvadas, right? And you're a doctor? What kind of doctor?" "A doctor of divinity." So he says, "Divinity? What kind of illness is that?" "What kind of sickness is divinity?" It's a bitter gelechta, huh? It's a good joke. Think about it.
But it's true.
That's why it's funny. Because it is true. Yeah.
When the rabbi became a doctor,
he needed parnasa. So then he became a doctor?
Then the
Kehila became sick. The law became sick when he became a doctor. Okay, so over here it says over here, he doesn't say, Pasuk Yudalit, the Ovad lo tuchu lo levrech kirema monos mikal. Yoivad manos mikal lov lelamo b'malchama neged ha'ev ki gam kam chazak b'teva yilo yamitz koichoi, will have no strength. Lo yishoer koich b'cheskasa ki yipol boi rifyon k'b'chok moro lev lo yuchal lilochem ki he'll have a weak heart. V'gam agibo lo lulvash lo yuchal lilochem l'nesach el ha'ev ki gam lo toil lo gevuro sheimal nafshoi. Okay, he's not going to have to be on power. Alkol panim yishiyaslos asma b'namoves al yidei hamlot b'gevuro. Okay, so we're finished. We're going to maybe we're going to finish up so we can go tomorrow to the next pasuk. Anything we have left to do? Yeah, there's just going to be one Maimon Chazal, and then we go tomorrow to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph on the bottom. Okay, make sure over here we got everything over here. Yeah, we did everything. We did the Chemes Sanoch, do that. Yeah, we did everything. Just do over here on the bottom. Very easy Maimon Chazal. Page 285, the very bottom. Rakim Mimlechem Levim, Mimlechem Lendazim, Kol Yimei Nizroi Kodoy Shul Hashem, Bibnei Shenozar Derech Prishus V'Tohara Nikro Kodosh. Because when a person separates himself from the mundane things of this world, he's a holy man. This pasuk is teaching us a beautiful yesod that a nazir is equal to a prophet. Shenemar v'akim mibnechem lin v'im umibachurechem lin nazirim. Chazal learned from this, since the two are equated in one pasuk, a nazir is a prophet. What else do we know about a Nazir? He's a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol. Because the Nazir has all of the same laws as the Kohen Gadol. Exactly. He's not allowed to contaminate. What? Okay, but as far as contamination, as far as the laws of to whom he can contaminate, he only can contaminate to a Meis Mitzvah. He's not allowed to contaminate himself to his seven closest relatives. That goes to show that he has a very high degree of sanctity. So Nazir is an amazing person. A Nazir, Mitzad Echad, the Zoyar here, the Sifrei. The collection of Midrashim are in two books. Sifrei is Bamidbar and Devarim. It's not Sifri. People make a mistake, they call it the Sifri. It's called Sifrei. Sifrei means books, Beloshon Rabim. Two books, Bamidbar and Devarim, the Midrashim. It's like the Medrash Rabba on Bamidbar and Devarim, and there it says that a Nazir has the same status as a prophet, and a Nazir, Chazal say explicitly, has the same kedusha like a Kohen Gadol. Could you imagine a young boy, 13-year-old boy, is makabel upon himself nazirus? By doing so, he achieves prophecy, and he achieves the status of a kohen gadol that can go lefnai v'lefnim. And when he finishes his term of nazirus, what does the pasuk say? Once a nazir, always a nazir. V'achar yishte hanazir yayin. If you're drinking wine, you're not a nazir. How could the two go together? The answer is no. When you finish your term, the kedusha of the nazir remains with you. So it's an amazing thing where even young boys were on a level that the psukim. This is not someone giving you praise. You know, you go. Someone writes a darshan and gets up and he says about a little boy, haraf, hagoyin, hagodol, muflog, all these expressions. This is the Torah. This is Nevi'im. This is a prophet speaking here. This is the Chazal. Chazal are giving praise to a little boy, a 13-year-old boy, by calling him a Navi and calling him a Kohen Gadol. And this is the real deal. This is not just make-believe. It's an amazing thing. It goes to show how high, how great a person can be if he only applies himself. The Kohen Gadol only goes l'fnai v'lefnim. Only one person goes l'fnai v'lefnim on Yom HaKippurim, Kohen Gadol. And here we're saying this 13-year-old boy, to a degree, is like the Kohen Gadol. A Navi, Hashem, speaks to see Ma'aseh Merkava, to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's no small thing. A little 13-year-old boy can do this? Yeah. If you apply yourself, you have a desire, you have tahara, anyone can achieve, you can achieve anything. Okay, we'll stop here.